Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. My opening serve on the Sunny Side of Sports is U.S. Open Tennis. Spanish star Rafael Nadal defeated Russia's Daniil Medvedev in an epic five-sets men's final that lasted nearly 5 hours. Craig Gabriel reports from New York.
Certain moments can define careers. Experiences can live on forever. Emotions remain deep inside a person. On the final night of the U.S. Open, the match that transfixed on the Arthur Ashe Stadium will fill all those points and probably then some. Rafa Nadal and Daniil Medvedev played a match that can't be praised highly enough. For 4 hours and 50 minutes, everyone was on a roller coaster of emotions and excitement. It was like turning the pages of a Daniel Silver novel. Just when you thought you knew the protagonist, there was yet another chapter to hook you right in. It seemed like Nadal had the final in the bag. He led Medvedev 2 sets to 0 and had a break. It was a matter of pushing just a bit more, but the crowd were taking the noise decibels up to a few notches, and the Russian mounted his comeback. Suddenly, he was in the game. The third set fell to him when he finished with a backhand drive winner. There was concern creeping into Nadal's face. The fourth set level-pegged with Medvedev serving first. Nadal served to make it 5-all, but in a flurry, Medvedev stunned the Spaniard with a priceless backhand passing shot down the line. The crowd went nuts. The fifth seed had a chance to break early in the fifth, but Nadal was right there, and instead he went up a double break and led 5-2 and served for the championship. But nope, this really wasn't ready to end, and Medvedev pushed it to the brink. A second time, Nadal served for it, and after saving a break point, the championship became his. Daniil sent a return long, and Rafa dropped to the court. 7-5, 6-3, 5-7, 4-6, 6-4. It's a shame there could only be just one winner. Let's first hear from Rafa and then from Daniel.
Well, the last 3 hours of the match have been very, very intense, no? Very, very tough mentally and physically too, no? So, and at the end with the video, with the crowd that have been, as always, amazing, that all these facts that make the moment super special, no? And unforgettable moment at the same time.
Tonight I'm not happy to lose. But I have to give myself credit for these 2 weeks. It's been amazing. Before the tournament, my best result was 4th round of a slam. I had some physical problems. Sometimes I didn't play as good as I wanted, but I managed to be in the final. I managed to give huge fight to one of the best players in the history of our sport, and have to give myself credits, and I hope I grow a lot doing these things, but I need to continue and I need to be better.
For Daniil, it's been a remarkable season. He will be the new world number 4, and there's so much more to come from this 23-year-old. This is Nadal's 4th U.S. Open and his 19th major, putting him now just one behind Roger Federer's record. And he says that is not his aim.
I don't look it at that way. I always say the same. I would love to be the one who win more, but I am not thinking and I'm not going to practice every day or not playing tennis for it, you know. I am playing tennis because I love to play tennis, no, and I can't just think about Grand Slams, no. Tennis is more than Grand Slams, and I need to think about the rest of the things, you know. I play to be happy.
And he must have something against Russians, because this is the 20th straight win over a Russian. Rafa is the second oldest man to win the Open. Only ahead of him is Ken Rosewall from 1970. What a match we've been witness to at the U.S. Open. Craig Gabriel for VOA Sports, New York.
Thanks, Craig. In the women's final at the U.S. Open, American star Serena Williams was foiled by 19-year-old Canadian Bianca Andreescu in her bid for a record-tying 24th major title. Joining us with that story is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Well, it wasn't meant to be again for Serena Williams. Despite powering through a 5-1 deficit to tie things up in the second set, Serena could not maintain her momentum, and she fell to Bianca Andreescu 6-3, 7-5. After the match, Serena said she was struggling to accept the fact that she didn't play better.
It's really hard right now to take that moment in and to say, you did okay. Because I don't believe I did, you know? And I believe I could have played better, and I believe I could have done more, and I believe that I could have just been a better, been more Serena today. And I don't, honestly don't think Serena showed up, and I have to kind of figure out how to get her to show up in Grand Slam finals.
Serena has consistently been a dominant force in matches leading up to the championship round, and she maintains a reputation as the one to beat in any Grand Slam tournament. But it's becoming more and more of a mystery as to why she's unable to cross the finish line. She has not claimed a major title since 2017, and in her last four Slam finals, she missed the chance of equaling Margaret Court's all-time record of 24 majors. But Serena says she's not chasing the record, she simply wants to win.
I'm not necessarily chasing a record, I'm just trying to win Grand Slams, and it's definitely frustrating, you know, but for the most part, I just am still here and I'm still doing what I can do.
And Serena says despite her disappointing loss, she credits Bianca Andreescu for showing up with her A game.
Definitely disappointing. It's definitely a little bit of both. Felt like I could have done so many things a little bit better. But she played really well, and she deserves this championship.
And as the new U.S. Open Women's Champion, Andreescu has made history as the first Canadian, male or female, to win a major. Andreescu came out strong in the final and broke Serena's serve in the first game of the match. Afterwards, Andreescu said she wanted to send an early message that she's in it to win it.
The game plan right from the start was to make her work for every ball and to get as many returns in the court as possible, and I think she was intimidated a little bit by it.
And she kept her composure throughout the match. She was able to fend off Serena's second set rally that denied Andreescu her first championship point. And she not only had to fight off Serena's threat of a comeback, but also the deafening roars of the crowd that cheered Serena on. But Andreescu said she was somehow able to block out the noise and stay in the zone.
It definitely wasn't easy, especially when she started coming back in the second set. I mean, it was expected. She's a champion, and that's what champions do. And she's done that many, many times throughout her career, but I just tried to stay as composed as I could. It's hard to just block everything out, but I think I did a pretty good job at that.
Tennis is as much a mental game as it is a physical one, and Andreescu said she prepared for the match the same way she begins every day, in deep meditation. And she said Saturday was not the first time she pictured herself winning the U.S. Open.
This wasn't the only time I visualized playing in the finals, actually against Serena Williams. It's so crazy, man. I've been dreaming of this moment for the longest time. Like I said, after I won on the Orange Bowl a couple months after, I really believe that I could be at this stage. And since then, honestly, I've been visualizing it almost every single day.
The win caps off a remarkable season for the 19-year-old. She can now add the women's singles title to her wins at Toronto and Indian Wells and enjoy a huge jump in the rankings from number 152 to number 5 in the world. Congratulations to Bianca Andreescu. And that marks the end of this year's thrilling history-making U.S. Open tournament. More sporty news to come. Sunny, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It was a big weekend in African football with preliminary round matches for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Prince Nesta reports one of the teams advancing to Africa's 40-team group phase is the Taifa Stars of Tanzania. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. Tanzania advanced to the group phase of the 2022 World Cup qualifiers after securing a 3-0 penalty shootout victory over Burundi in Dar es Salaam. Elsewhere, 18-year-old shortstopper Ashley Williams was Liberia's hero on Sunday after he saved a stoppage-time penalty against Sierra Leone to put his country through to the group phase of the qualifiers. Ethiopia's 1-1 draw in Lesotho was enough for them to advance, following a 0-0 draw in the first leg, while Equatorial Guinea narrowly progressed past South Sudan after Emilion Sue's goal separated the pair in Malabo. Angola defender Wilson Gaspar scored the winner in a 1-0 victory against the Gambia, while Togo drew 1-1 away to Comoros, with the return legs to come on Tuesday. The 14 teams who advance from this round will enter the group stage, where they will join the 26 top-ranked sides in the 40-team, 10-group second phase. 5 places have been reserved for Africa at the 2022 World Cup in Qatar.
Prince, any updates on the African-friendly matches that were played over the weekend?
Of course, Sonny. Harambee Stars rallied from a goal down to settle for a 1-1 draw against Uganda Cranes in an international friendly match played at the Moi International Sports Center, Kasarani. In the other encounter, Benin claimed a 2-1 away win over the Elephants of Ivory Coast. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia beat the Al Murabitoun of Mauritania 1-0 in Tunis, while Morocco were held to a 1-1 draw by the Stallions of Burkina Faso. Elsewhere, the Barea of Madagascar became the latest team to pull out of a friendly international against South Africa due to security concerns. The withdrawal came in the wake of the recent xenophobic violence in South Africa.
Prince, I know some of the South African players are speaking out against that violence. One of them is Bafana midfielder Bongani Zungu.
As for me and some of the guys, we play overseas with foreigners in other countries. You know, it's sad, you know, to see what's going on in the country. And also we've got friends in our teams there in Europe. You know, they ask us questions, you know, what's going on, bro? You know, like you're killing our brothers and, you know, and it's quite sad.
Prince, 4-time African Footballer of the Year Samuel Eto'o of Cameroon has officially retired at the age of 38. Where do you rate Eto'o among the African greats?
In my own opinion, I believe Eto'o is Africa's greatest footballer of all time. I mean, picture this. He retires as the all-time top scorer for Cameroon, for Real Mallorca, and in the African Cup of Nations, having scored 18 goals across 6 editions, eclipsing the record set by Laurent Pokor of the Ivory Coast 38 years previously. His technique, vision, and invention definitely set him apart from his peers, and his goal-scoring abilities, especially during his time at Mallorca, was so successful in the year 2000, he actually struck 54 goals in 133 outings to establish himself as the team's all-time leading scorer. His move to Barcelona in 2004 also ensured the Cameroonian superstar won 3 Spanish La Liga titles before helping the Catalonian side to 2 European Champions League triumphs in 2006 and 2009, and it will be remembered that he actually scored in both finals. Eto'o was also the first and only African player to win the La Liga Golden Boot when he netted 26 times in 34 matches. Will surely be remembered for also moving to Inter Milan in 2009, where he won his 3rd Champions League crown, as well as an Italian Serie A title and the FIFA Club World Cup in 2010. The prolific goal scorer and one of the best in my generation will surely be missed. We wish him all the best here at the Sunny Side of Sports.
For sure, Prince. Announcing his retirement on Instagram, Samuel Eto'o wrote, and I quote, "The end, towards a new challenge. Thank you all, big love." Prince, let's show some love to former Chelsea and Leicester City coach Claudio Ranieri, who has been shortlisted for the vacant position of Guinea's national coach.
That's right, Sonny. The 67-year-old veteran Italian manager is the leading candidate to become head coach of Guinea, thereby replacing Paul Put, who was sacked in July. It should also be noted that Ranieri, who won the English Premier League with Leicester in 2016, is among 87 other applicants for the job and is one of 17 coaches listed for interviews by the Guinea Football Federation. However, Ranieri remains the most high-profile coach among those that have already applied for the job, since he's had previous experiences coaching a vast array of European clubs, including Roma, Chelsea, Juventus, Leicester City, Inter Milan, Atletico Madrid, Valencia, and Monaco. I'm Prince Nesta, on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In African basketball, Nigeria will represent the continent at next year's Men's Olympic Tournament in Tokyo. Joining us with more details is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. Nigeria has booked a slot to the Tokyo 2020 Olympics after win over host China 83-76 on Sunday at the FIBA Basketball World Cup to confirm their place as the best-ranked team in Africa. This will be Nigeria's third consecutive Olympics appearance after they made their debut at the London 2012 Olympics before returning to the big stage at the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro as the reigning African champions and finishing 11th. Ike Diogo is the team's captain. He reacts after the win over host nation China.
Both teams had an Olympic bid at stake, but I felt like as the tournament went on, we got better and better, and we said that when we were in a moment like this, like when we were up by 8 points with 5 minutes left against Russia and we squandered the lead away, that we were going to get a chance to redeem ourselves, and that's what we did today.
The Tigers coach is Alex Mora.
I'm proud of these guys. I'm proud of all the players that represented Nigeria. We have one of the best talent in this tournament.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. Meanwhile, the field is now set for the quarterfinals at the FIFA Basketball World Cup in China. In Tuesday's quarterfinal games, Argentina will play Serbia and Spain will meet Poland. On Wednesday, there will be two more quarterfinal games. Australia will take on the Czech Republic, and the two-time defending world champion United States will face France. The USA, Australia, Spain, and Argentina are unbeaten in the tournament with 5 consecutive victories each. The semifinals are Friday in Beijing, and the final will be played Sunday, September 15th, also in Beijing. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Weightlifting Federation of Nigeria says it's preparing for 3 major qualifying championships for the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. Nigerian wrestlers won the most medals for their country at the recent African Games in Morocco. They tallied 47 medals total, 16 gold, 13 silver, and 18 bronze. To find out more about their Olympic preparations, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the president of the Weightlifting Federation of Nigeria, Yahaya Mohammed.
You know, most of the time, earlier preparation, we used to bring success. So we have been planning to go into camp, let's say 5 months to the Olympic. So I believe that if we have a conducive atmosphere, the boys will stay and train. And I believe that they are in the competition, they are going to have the results. So this is what we're trying to do. We will put our athletes on camp before the time. But now before the time, we have some qualifier events which we will attend. We have about 3 championships ahead of us. Even 16 of these months, we have one at Thailand. And we have one at Tunisia, that is November. At December, we have at Qatar. So those are our leaders who are going to represent Nigeria in the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. They will participate, inshallah. We believe that they are going to qualify. after that, the qualification will come them somewhere else, not in Abuja, not in Lagos, in a quiet place where they may have a good training during the camping tenure.
Is your federation making efforts to ensure that other countries do not take away your athletes to compete for them?
We have never experienced that kind of problem in the past, and I believe that even in the coming one, we are not going to experience that challenge. So because all Nigerian athletes, weightlifters, they believe that they are Nigerians and they don't go to anywhere they are competing for Nigeria, because they believe that they are Nigerian for Nigeria, you understand? So we don't have that challenge. So I believe that all our lifters are going to compete for Nigeria.
That's Yahaya Muhammad, the president of the Weightlifting Federation of Nigeria, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Kano, Nigeria. Here in the United States, the National Football League has officially kicked off its 100th season. The Super Bowl champion New England Patriots began defense of their title by routing the visiting Pittsburgh Steelers. The AP's Geffen Coolbaugh reports from Foxborough, Massachusetts.
New England didn't need Antonio Brown to beat its newly signed wide receiver's old team in the Patriots' 33-3 season-opening victory against the Steelers. Tom Brady torched the Pittsburgh defense for 341 yards and three touchdowns shortly after the defending champions unveiled their sixth Super Bowl banner.
We got a lot of players that are talented, and we just got to figure out how to make it all work. We're going to work hard. It's a long year. It's the beginning of a long marathon, and there's NFL is very competitive, and it's going to be a great challenge, but I think we're all looking forward to it.
Ben Roethlisberger put up 276 yards, but the Steelers struggled.
It stinks. No one wants to win more than me, so no one likes to lose a game, especially the first one. But truthfully, it's you know, still a long season. It's early. It's not the end of the season. It's not the middle of the season. It's the very first game, so there's a lot of football left, and we have to approach a season like there's a lot of football left.
Brown is expected to make his Patriots debut next Sunday in Miami. Geffen Coolbaugh, Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Thanks, Geffen. In some of Sunday's other National Football League results, the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Washington Redskins 32-27. The Baltimore Ravens routed the host Miami Dolphins 59-10. The Ravens broke club records for points and total yards with 634. The Kansas City Chiefs topped the Jacksonville Jaguars 40-26. The Minnesota Vikings clipped the wings of the Atlanta Falcons 28-12. The Buffalo Bills edged the New York Jets 17-16. The Los Angeles Rams beat the Carolina Panthers 30-27. The Seattle Seahawks edged the Cincinnati Bengals 21-20. And the San Francisco 49ers beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-17. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of one of the Tigers of Nigeria in action at the FIBA Basketball World Cup. The Tiger in particular, Stan Okoye, and he's shown playing against Argentina. As we heard earlier in the show from Samson Omale, the Tigers will be representing Africa at the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. The two-time defending world champion USA still in contention for the trophy. They have a quarterfinal match on Wednesday against France. Go USA! Go USA! Bring home that trophy once again. And that wraps up the September 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the biggest threat to President Yoweri Museveni's re-election in 2021 may be a 37-year-old musician. The future of Uganda on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This is Science in a Minute.
An extensive new study brings troubling news for people who consume 2 or more soft drink servings a day. The study, which was coordinated by the International Agency for Research on Cancer, found people who drink 2 or more glasses of soda each day, compared to those who drink no more than 1 soft drink per month, had a higher risk of death from a wide range of causes. For those of you who think you're safe because you drink sugar-free beverages, sorry, but the research suggests it doesn't matter if you're drinking soft drinks sweetened with sugar or with artificial sweeteners. The mortality risks are the same. Specifically, the study authors found that drinking 2 or more glasses of artificially sweetened soft drinks per day was positively linked to deaths from cardiovascular disease, while consuming 1 or more glasses of sugar-sweetened soft drinks each day was positively associated with deaths from digestive diseases. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
This is VOA News. I'm Jim Burt.